Now let's concentrate tonight, if we can. How many of us enjoy the teachings? You getting something out of them? All right. Now you got your little books where you're taking this down. Now tonight I'd love to relate the pilgrimage of Abraham. We're trying to get a foundation here for these revelations that's coming up. Now as you notice here, the other night we went through these and we named these up here that you see on the board here, down from Adam down to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way we can do that is when we're under the anointing, but when we're under the anointing, well, it just comes out. We don't have any trouble with it. But we named these things and we gave the ages of them. And now then we check these things out. Some of you was pro and con. And then we had Brother Taylor to draw a little diagram here for you to kind of make things coincide in a cycle to where you could understand what we're doing. All right, now, Brother Atlee, later on the printing machines and presses, he'll bring out some different things for you that you can have and use concerning these little charts. And as a matter of fact, in the book, we're called Spiritual Conquest, and we hope to come off the presses before too much longer. It'll be full of charts and illustrations and revelation. Only book we've ever published like that. But anyway, I want you to notice now, you see this diagram right here? Now we've got this thing lined up in a five-pointed or six-pointed star flag, like the old flag that the Jews always flew back there in Palestine. They're flying it right now since it became an independent nation. And then we had a circle here. We went around the corners of the flag, I mean the star. And then we parallel the time of the garden experience here. We started with the garden experience, and then we went around, and we paralleled a number of things. We paralleled the flood of Noah with the time of grace over here. Judgment with grace, we paralleled it all the way across for 2,000 years, a 2,000-year span. We paralleled this judgment of Noah over here, the great deluge, here over with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you might say, Brother Pike, I just don't see where there's any connection at all. But if you're spiritual, you can see that this was a symbol of the revelation here. And we have it on tape somewhere where we broke it down into revelation and showed step by step how it was exactly this Calvary right here. And then we made a parallel with Abraham and Apostle Paul right here, where Abraham got the promise and where Paul got the revelation in the third heavens later, the fulfillment of it. Now then, Noah's day where he got drunk over here, I began to be a husbandman there, and he raised my vineyard, and he got drunk, and how did it parallel perfectly with Peter over there where he was drunk on the day of Pentecost. And then we come down here, and we picked up the days of Elijah, and we paralleled it with Brother William Branham, a great prophet of our day, right here. Come out just perfect. We picked up Moses over here, and we paralleled Moses right here with the days of Martin Luther, when the Protestants came out from the Catholic Church, and it just come out just perfect. So as you see, you start with the garden, and then when you come around in your cycle of 6,000 years, when you get back, you go right back to the garden, which is the 1,000 years, millennium reign that we're close to right now. We've got a pyramid drawn here, as you can see, with a capstone or a headstone here. Over in Egypt, they have this pyramid, and this capstone here signifies Jesus Christ, the cornerstone that the builders rejected. The Bible said the same has become the head of the corner. Got many churches, but they reject the word of God, which is Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. And the Bible said every stone shall be cast down, not one stone upon another shall remain, because they daubed it with untempered mortar, and they build it up with man-made theology and ideas, and instead of staying with facts, they use theology, and the shifting sands of theology is going to cause the building to crumble. It don't have the apostolic foundation of the 12 teachings there that New Jerusalem had when John saw the revelation. Now then, briefly, we just went over this that you might understand. I know that some of you won't understand what we're doing. I realize that, because the teachings get pretty deep. But just try to get the fragments of it, and there's tapes and books and things that you can secure that's in order to where you can go back and get the whole thing. I want you to listen real close tonight, And I'm going to ask Brother Taylor to come up if you will. And we'll probably have to erase this. We left this up here to begin with tonight because some of you wanted to get charged and so forth. And I trust that, did anybody get this down to where we can get a copy of it? Have you got it down pretty well to where we can get a copy? Anybody, did you draw it? You draw it and you got it, John? Okay, let's erase this and then we'll... Now, we've got a chart, as you know, we had here the other night that's far advanced to this. It's got the dates and everything from the garden all the way around to the coming of the Lord Jesus. It's got the historical dates and the events where they crossed Jordan and everything. But we want to erase this tonight and pick up a little bit with the pilgrimage of Abraham and to relate a little of the natural things that took place in the life of Abraham so that we can bring you up to date on the spiritual revelation of the things that we see happening and perhaps some of the other brethren here also see that's happening. The Bible said that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and he saw what was going on in heaven. Now then, if we're not of this world and he's chosen us out of this world and we're sitting together tonight in heavenly places with the Lord Jesus Christ, then we ought to be able to see what's going on in heaven. So let's see what's going on in the mind of God, for that's heaven. Now the world looks at what they see down here and the people look on the outward, but God looks on the heart, and we're looking at things in heaven. Our conversation is in heaven, our vision is in heaven, our hopes in heaven, and the things that we are doing is in heaven. All right, let's look into heaven tonight and see. Paul went up into the third heavens and saw. But let's pick up with the pilgrimage of Abraham. Now, we've had a study concerning the creative acts of God and the garden experience, talking about Adam, and then we went down and studied the life of Noah after we studied the life of Adam. And now then, we want to come on down to another step and study the life of Abraham. All right, now remember, first of all, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, we'll put 1, 2, 3 up here because the lineage of all the earth was overspread with Ham, Shem, and Japheth. These were the sons of Noah after the flood, and we gave the lineage of them, how that these men here, Ham, for instance, here, we gave the lineage, and we had it all wrote out. And then we gave the lineage of Shem, and we gave the lineage of Japheth, and we especially highlighted this right here, that was the lineage of Japheth, because it was the Gentiles. Now remember, from Japheth comes the Gentiles, from Shem comes the Jew, and from Ham comes all the trouble. So then, the Gentiles, the Bible said that Christ came to the Gentiles to take a bride out of the Gentiles. The Gentiles takes in us. All of us that are in here tonight are Gentile people, and this takes in the Gentiles. Now then, the Jews, they call them the Hebrews. Really, there's no such thing as Jew when you come to nationality. They don't recognize anybody as a Jew, but they're called Hebrew people. But anyway, remember, he was over in the land of Mamre. One of them was named Mamre, and it was called the Plains of Mamre. It apparently had been named after one of these three that was confederate with Abraham, and it was a place called Hebron. But now, I want you to notice here tonight in the teachings, I want you to especially take notice to the pilgrimage of Abraham, because when we get to Jacob and then we get on around there where Joshua comes back into the Canaan land, you'll see real spiritual significance in these places, because some of them come right back to these very things, till Shiloh be come. All right, now, first, we're going to start right over here in this upper corner and see if we can work it out. Remember now, civilization started with the sunrise of the gospel in the eastern part of the world. The sunrise of civilization, which we call the gospel, coming up in the east and ever moving westward, to go down in the western world, which is our great United States, in a bloodshed sunset, in conflict of nationality, in all the troubles and chaos of the world. Ever moving from the man to the woman. We're going to name this the man up here, and this the woman, because the Jew is male, and the United States is the woman nation. Number 13, that was her number of stars on the flag. The number 13 is always the woman. This is found in Revelation 12. You find where the woman was on the moon in the book of Revelation 12. 12. Look at the book Revelation 12, where John saw it, and the woman was on the moon there with the stars overhead. And today we brought it out again and again how that America is on the moon right now. The woman was on the moon when the man child was born. And remember, the man child is this great Son of God, many membered body of the church. Paul said, members of the body of Jesus Christ in particular, this great man child is coming up. The woman was on the moon. She had her foot on the moon. And the thing that we're emphasizing now is the footprints on the moon. Right now, that's the thing that's being emphasized. The woman, the America, she's on the moon. The woman's on the moon. And the man child, you remember, is the Pope of Rome that's to come. That's his symbol. The real man child is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church. When the headship Jesus Christ comes back to get the members of the body that will rule in the millennium, the 1,000 years reign, for 1,000 years with a rod of iron, which is God's word, and will be the government there. But the antitype of it is the Pope of Rome that ruled during the Dark Age over there when the martyrs was put to death. All right, now then, the woman is on the moon and the man-child government's about to come in, which is the Catholic government. It'll be a communistic thing that'll come in with the Catholic powers, and the Pope will be the Antichrist that will rule the world. He'll come in and rule the world, and he'll be that man-child in symbols that'll rule with a rod of iron, antityping the ministry of Jesus Christ for about 3.5 years. All right, now remember, the woman's on the moon. Shepherd went up to the moon. We brought that out a few days ago, what it represented and everything. All right, now the gospel sunrise over here in the eastern world to go down in the bloodshed sunset in the western world, the rulership coming from the man going over to the woman. Now then, it has just about made its journey across. It's just about made its journey all the way across the continent, coming to the United States and coming by the way of Rome. Coming by the way of Rome, we'll put Rome along in here. Coming by the way of Rome, all the way from Palestine over to the United States. Now, I wish we had our three maps to teach this from. Coming from the eastern country, going over to the United States. Now, over in Rome, it reached a real high noon right here, a fierceness that caused the death of many martyrs. And over here, it was a morning sunrise. But over here in the western world, it is a bloodshed sunset of chaos and trouble. Now, remember when they started out of Egypt, there was nothing but trouble. For when the children of Israel started out of Egypt, it was just a great slaughter, and God poured out his wrath upon them. They threw their monies to the bats, so to speak, and they gave their jewelry away, and it wasn't nothing but heartaches and sorrows and conflicts and diseases and everything. The same way when the Negro started coming out of bondage. Same way the Negro being in bondage, exactly the amount of time that the church was, 400 years, a symbol of the church coming out. And so when the Negro come out, they begin to burn the cities and everything, just conflict after conflict, showing that terrible thing that happened down there in Egypt when they started out of Egypt. And remember, the people tried to give the Negro everything to pacify him, just like the Egyptians did, but it didn't do no good, did it? It didn't do no good. He had to come out of there and show the church. The same amount of time, about 400 and some years. All right, now, that chaos has started, and there's nothing but disease and trouble falling on the world, because that Negro is a symbol of the church coming out, and we who are the church is coming out of that worldly mind, out of the carnal mind, out of death, out of the conflicts of the world, and we're rising up into the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ in the heavenly places. The rapture is taking place, translation from glory to glory in the mind of God being changed, transformed, Paul said, by renewing my mind, coming in the presence of Almighty God, coming out, and all this chaos and trouble is hitting the world. God said he called his son out of Egypt. The Bible said he called his firstborn out of Egypt. Now, let's pick up Abraham here where civilization starts off and get just a little bit out of tonight if we can. All right, now notice here, we dealt with Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. This was their lineage here. We're not going to go through it and name them again. We did the other night. But I want to point out that this was the Gentiles. All right, it started with a Jew over here, and it wound up with the Gentiles over here. Now then, coming down with Ham, Shem, and Japheth, You remember we said that it was about 1,636 years when Ham, Shem, and Japheth was born. Noah was 500 years old. We brought down the age lineage the other night and brought it down and numbered it. And then we got down to about 1,536 years. And then down to the flood, we got down about 1,636 years. And then we finally got down to Abraham. It was about 2,001 year down there. Anyway, we come on down to Abraham, and it was 490 years over from the time that Ham, Shem, and Japheth come, 100 years before the flood. It was about 490 years over to the time that Isaac was born. Alright, then we knocked off 100 years, which was beyond the flood. Then we knocked off another 100 years, which was from Abraham to Isaac, and it left us 290 years from the flood down to Abraham. Alright, now, what we want to do here is pick up along about where Noah got drunk over there. They went down into the land of Shinar, and when they got down there, they started building the Tower of Babel. Now, I'm not going to let write this, but when they started building the tower, I guess you can go ahead and put it along in here somewhere. They started building a tower to heaven, and the Lord went down there. They were all of one language and one speech, and the Bible said nothing would be restrained from them that they planned to do. So God confounded the language, separated them into all the world, and this is what brought the different nationalities. Now we'll get into that sometimes of what caused the different appearance of the people and everything. But anyway, here it is, the different nationalities, and God spread them abroad. Now, by the time Abraham came, they were pretty well scattered, but the earth wasn't too thickly populated. Now, they'd already settled down in Egypt by the time Abraham came along. It was about 200 years in there. From the time that this happened, maybe, I don't know just exactly how many years, but it's about 290 years from the flood there to Abraham, so it happened during this period. It must have been 150 years that they populated, and by the time Abraham came along, Egypt was occupied because Abraham goes down into Egypt with Sarah. Now, there must not have been too many people down there, but anyway, it was occupied, and the Philistines also, they had a place over there. Between Shur and Kadesh, it was called Gerar, and over there they had a place of Philistines because Abraham went over there. But now let's pick up right here. We're putting Noah drunk right here on this side of the Tower of Babel. We brought out the other night how that out of the lineage of Ham come Canaan, the one that caused the trouble, and all the Canaanites, and how that Nimrod come down here out of the seed of Cush. Remember we brought out how here was Cush and Mizraim, and Thut and Canaan was the four lineages of Ham, and how that out of Cush came forth the trouble. For Nimrod came out of Cush, and then out of Canaan down there, which was the last one, come forth the Canaanites and all that caused the trouble with the Hebrews. But this Nimrod came out of the lineage of Cush. He come over here and built this. We brought out how that he come over here and built Babel and Erech and Akkad and Calneum. Four different places that he built, four different kingdoms that he started, and how that he brought this thing out here which was called the Tower of Babel in the land of Shinar. Alright, now then, you remember when the prophet looked over there beyond the teachings of Daniel and saw some cherubs flying through the air, some women like that had the crystal ball or the ephod within their hands, and they asked, where are you taking it? Said, to the land of Shinar. See, going into bondage, 70 years into bondage. Alright, now then, notice this, drunk off a new wine, and then we find right here, coming beyond this, down to Abraham. Now, we'll put Abraham right here. He was in the land of Ur. He was in the land of the Chaldees. He had never gone over into Canaan land, but the Canaanites had already moved over in there and started to settle in Canaan, and the Perizzites too. They were already over there. So then about 10 years after Abraham was in there, it records that the Perizzites was there, but it says to begin with that the Canaanites had already moved in there. All right, now, who was the Canaanites? Canaan right here, from the seed of Ham, here's the Canaanites right here. All of them coming from them. We brought it out the other night, how that the Kadites and the Kenizzites and the Kedmathites, and we brought it on down how that Hittites and the Pezorites and different ones, how they all come out of Canaan right here. We named the 10 nations, that come out of Canaan right here. Now, this is called the Canaan land because God let Canaan settle over there. But Canaan is the one that looked on the nakedness of Noah, and Ham, his father, looked on the nakedness, and Canaan apparently committed sodomy with Abraham, and his seed went down there and settled in Sodom and Gomorrah. And God cursed him and said, a servant of servants shall ye be, and said that Shem would dwell, or rather Japheth would dwell in the tents of Shem, and the curse came upon Canaan. He wasn't said anything here concerning the blessing toward Ham. But Canaan was cursed, and later Shem came and took the land of Canaan. God gave him a land, but Shem came and took it away from him, and it's called the Canaan land because it was named after him. All right, now then, if you can follow on here, if you'll notice, after that this thing took place here, this awful thing took place, God cursed him and made him a servant of servants. Now, Abraham went to dwell in this land, and God told Abraham, said, I'll give you this land. Now, the Lord spoke to Abraham while he was in the land of the Chaldees, over there. And his father, Terah, who was about 205 years old, the Bible said he died at 205, they went over to a place called Haran. Terah had three sons, which was Abraham, Nahor, and Terah, or Haran. And Haran died, and he must have named a place after Haran. So Terah also, the father of Nahor, Abraham, and Haran, died here in this place. And the Lord spoke to Abraham and said, get thee out of the land of thy kindred, and I'll make a great nation of you, Abraham. So then the first time God speaks to him is in the land of the Chaldees, and Abraham leaves, sojourning in a strange country, not knowing where he's going, but by faith, God going to make him the father of faithful, he starts his pilgrimage from the east, moving southward. This is the way it starts, and the whole thing winds up moving westward. But anyway, he comes southward, and we'll put it down here as this list was southward to move down here into Egypt to give you some idea of his pilgrimage. All right, now he's coming out of the land of Canaan. He's 75 years old. Remember, Noah lived to be 950, and he lived on down to the time of Abraham and died about 15 years before Abraham left the land of the Chaldees. And Noah died about 15 years before that time. And Abraham was 75 years old, and Sarah must have been about 65, because it's about 10 years different. Remember, Abraham died at 175, Sarah died at 127. So then they're moving down out of the land of Haran. They're going down into the land of Canaan. Now, first they're going to come into the land of Canaan. All right, now they come in from the land of the Chaldees, they move down to the land of Canaan. Rub this out, Brother Taylor, and put this along down in here somewhere. All right, the land of Canaan, we're going to put Canaan right along in here. They're coming to the land of Canaan. All right, now, when he comes into the land of Canaan, the first place he comes to is Shechem. If you remember that name, you'll see something over there when Jacob's daughter committed harlotry. All right, now then, coming to the land of Shechem, the Bible said the land of Moriah, which was the place called Shechem, in the land of Moriah, and this is the same place later that God sent Abraham back to offer up his son as a sacrifice. Now he comes to the land of Moriah, and God speaks to him again. I keep up with the times now. He spoke to him about nine times. And here he, in the land of Shechem, he speaks to him, and Abraham builds his first altar unto God. All right, now, are you with me? He builds an altar, and God says to Abraham, now, in the land of the Chaldees, he said, Abraham, get thee out of the land of thy kindred. I'll make a great nation of you, and they that bless you shall be blessed, and they that curse you shall be cursed. So then the first time, it was a blessing and a curse. The next time he speaks to him over here in the land of Shechem, he tells him that he will give him the land of Canaan. So this time it is giving him the land of Canaan here at Shechem. All right, Abraham moved over to a mountain over here where Bethel was on the west and Ai was on the left over here toward the east. Here at a mountain, he went over there to worship God again. All right, now then, he worshiped the Lord here. Now, there's a great famine that comes in the land of Canaan, and Abraham leaves the land of Canaan and he comes down here into Egypt. All right, now watch what happens here. He comes down into the land of Egypt. Now Sarah must be about 70 years old by now, or somewhere along there. But she's still a beautiful woman. Now I know in our day you got a woman 70 years old and she's wrinkled up like a prune. But just to show you how God does when you follow Him, that death is awful, folks. You're slowly dying. But when you follow God, you don't get old like that. The Bible said God will renew your youth. That's just according to your believing. All right, now then, watch right here. Comes down to the land of Egypt, and Pharaoh tries to take Abraham's wife away from him. Abraham told Sarah when they left the land of the Chaldees over here, said, now I want you, wherever we go, I want you to tell them that you're my sister so that they won't kill me. And indeed, Sarah was his sister because she was the daughter of his father but not the daughter of his mother, so she was his half-sister. So, anyway, this was the promise that Sarah said that she would obey to Abraham. Now, she was beautiful, fair to look upon, and the Bible said the princes of this country commended her to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh took her into his house and would have married her as a wife, but God plagued the house of Pharaoh and scared him half to death. And so he called for Abraham, and he gave the wife back to Abraham before he could defile Sarah. And then he was so afraid that he wouldn't touch Abraham nor his wife. So that Abraham dwelt here till he got rich. Then he moved out of there, and he came toward the south again, moving toward the south. All right, now then, him and Lot both had got rich by this time. Remember, Lot was the son of Haran right here. And when Haran died, he had a daughter by the name of Milcah. And Abraham's brother, Nahor, took this daughter to wife and went down in the land of Mesopotamia. We'll get around to that later. But Abraham took the son, which was Lot, his nephew, and took him with him. Now, God did not fulfill his promise to Abraham until Lot left him. Now, if you notice here that they were rich, they went south again. But then, after this, they moved back up here, coming back to Bethel. Now, you remember Bethel. Keep your minds on Bethel. You remember where Jacob saw that ladder? Going back to Bethel. All right, remember, Abraham was the one who set it up. Now that Abraham comes over here to Bethel. All right, now when they get here, there is a strife between the herdsmen of Abraham and the herdmen of Lot. They begin to have trouble. Strife comes up, and Abraham says, let there not be strife between us. You pick out what you want. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left, and whatever you want, well, I'll just take what's left over. That's always the attitude of a Christian. Now, the Bible said the backslider will be filled in his own ways. He'll want to take what he wants and give you what's left. But anyway, this is the way that he wanted it, and so that's the way it happened. All right, now, then, if you look at this real good here at Bethel, then Lot turned his eyes toward the east, looking toward the plains of Jordan, and the Bible said it was well watered like the garden of God and like the land of Egypt as you go toward Zoar. So he turned his face toward Sodom and Gomorrah. Toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham stayed out in the plains of Canaan. Now we'll put Sodom and Gomorrah over here somewhere. Along in here, we'll put Sodom and Gomorrah right along over here somewhere. All right, now, after that he left Abraham, then the Lord said, Abraham, look northward and southward, look eastward, and look westward. And all of this land from the great river of Euphrates, he said, from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates, I'm going to give you as a possession and inheritance forever. This right now that we're speaking of, folks, you see your televisions, you hear your radios, and the argument and the disturbance between those countries over there in Palestine, this is where it all started, right here. If you want to know what's going on in your newspapers, on your radios and television, if you listen real close, this will make you understand it right here. This is world history. All right, now, it didn't seem like much a few years ago, but now it's the great national event, international event, because God is fixing to come back to the world. All right, now, so then Lot, he moved down this way, and he wound up in Sodom and Gomorrah over here. All right, remember, it was Canaan's seed that started Sodom and Gomorrah, and that's where the trouble was. All right, now watch what happens. We'll get around to Sodom and Gomorrah a little later, but I want you to listen real close right here. All right, now then, after Lot leaves him, the Lord says, Abraham, I'll give you this possession. Now then, Abraham, he moves over here Remember, the Lord spoke to him again now. That's the third time. Then he moves over here to a place called Mamre. We're going to put it right here. A place called Mamre. All right, we just explained what it was a while ago. Here was Aner and Eshcol and Mamre, three, which was Amorites over here. The Amorites was over here, these three, but they were confederate with Abraham. Now then, just about the time he settles down over here and everything's going well with Abraham, trouble starts down here with Lot. We brought this out the other night. We got a little ahead of ourselves to name those things so you could write them down. Well, when we got to them, you'd understand them. All right, when he got over here, these people, Beeri and Beeshai and the different ones, had been serving Chedorlaomer. We brought this up the other night. They've been serving him for 12 years, and in the 13th year they rebelled against Chedorlaomer. And the Bible said that when they did, from out of Shinar, the ruler of Shinar, right here, which was Amraphel, the king Amraphel, coming out of the land of Shinar, that was ruler over Shinar, and Arioch, the ruler of Elasa, and Chedorlaomer, which was the ruler of Elam, these kings got together. And then Pilate, king of nation, which was four kings, got together, and they come over there fighting against Sodom and Gomorrah, when Beeri, which was king of Sodom, and Beeshai, which was king of Gomorrah, and Shinab, which was king of Abner, and Shinnom, which was king of Zeboim, and another king that the Bible don't mention the name of, which was king of Bela, which they called Zoar. The Zoar is the same place where Lot fled to. All right, now, these four kings, Chedorlaomer, and these kings come against these five kings. All right, there was trouble down there, and the Bible said that they met over at the salt sea called the Vale of Sidon. Now, over near the slime pits. Now, they had a battle in there. Later, Abraham come back to the Valley of Shaveh, which is called the King's Dale. And we'll get around to it in just a minute. But they had a battle in the Jordan battle, and these four kings had come with Chedorlaomer. They overthrew this great kingdom of Sodom and Gomorrah, and they took Lot in captivity. They took all that they had, their victuals, the Bible said, and all their goods, and took Lot and went off with them. When Abraham heard about it, he had about 313 souls there that was under his jurisdiction, and Ammon and Eshcol and Mamre, all being confederate with Abraham, they grouped themselves together, and they went in pursuit of these people by night, the Bible said, and they pursued them to the place called Dan. We'll study it on the map later. And they went over to a place called Dan, and then a place called Hoboth, which was to the left of Damascus, by night. They went there, and Abraham divided into two or three bands, and he went down on them, and they took these things away from them. They took Lot away from them and all the goods, and they came back. And when they came back, Beeri of Sodom came out to meet Abraham over here. All right, now he come out to meet Abraham, and he met him in the Valley of Shaveh, I believe it was, which is called the Kingsdale. But by the time he got there, Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God, had come and brought wine and bread to Abraham, and Abraham had given him a tenth of all the spoil, called him the priest of the Most High God. And then when this king come over there, he told Abraham, said, take the spoils and give me the people. Abraham said, I've sworn unto the God of heaven, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I'll not take from a thread to a shoe latchet. Said, lest you say that you made Abraham rich. Now, Abraham wasn't like the preachers of the day. He wasn't looking for an offering, was he? He was trusting in God to make him rich. And so then, if you'll notice, they met here in the Valley of Shaveh, and Abraham said, as long as you give Aner and Eshcol and Mamre, these men that were confederate with me, some of the goods, said, then that'll be all right with me, and I won't take anything except what we've eaten. All right, then he went back up into the land of Mamre. He went right back to Mamre, the same place where he had left from to go fight the battle. Now, when Abraham went off over here to fight, he must have been at least 80 years old or older. Now, riding a camel at 80 years old, pursuing the enemy, must have been in pretty good shape. But he went over there to fight with him, and he won the battle. Now then, he come back, When he come back, he come back to Mamre. Let's see, well, not so much if y'all can't even find Mamre anymore. Where's Mamre at? But anyway, he come back to Mamre, right along here. Put a little circle around that one, friend. All right, he come back to Mamre. I wanted to kind of circle this one because this one's kind of outstanding here. Now, he come back up here. Now, when he come back after the battle, the Lord spoke to him again. He was pleased with Abraham, and he spoke to him again. And the Lord said to him, said, Abraham, said, I'm going to make thy seed as the stars without number. Said, look up there. Said, if you can number them, said, then you'll be able to number your seed. All right, he told Abraham he would do that. He would number his seed as the stars, and said, I'm going to give you a son. Abraham said, what can you give me, seeing that I go childless, and this Eliezer, my servant, is heir to all that I've got? The Lord said, it not be so, but he that cometh of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he promised him Isaac, the promised son, after the battle of Kedorlaomer. All right, now then, he promised him Isaac. And the Bible said that after he promised him Isaac, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him as righteousness. Faith was counted to him for righteousness. The father of the faithful. All right, when he got back over here, now notice what happened. When he got back over here, immediately God said to Abraham, said, Abraham, said, I want you to offer a sacrifice. So he builds an altar. God speaks to him again. All right, now, speak. I hope you count these times. He speaks to him again. All right, now this makes about the sixth time here that he speaks to him. All right, he speaks to him again. Abraham builds an altar, and he said, take me a heifer 3 years old, take me a she-goat 3 years old, and take me a ram of 3 years old, and take me a turtle dove, and take me a young pigeon. So Abraham took them, and he divided the heifer, the goat, and the ram right down the middle. He didn't divide the birds. He laid them all out. And the Bible said the fires of heaven began to come down on him, and Abraham began to fade them away. All right, now, while he was doing this, Abraham got very sleepy, and a deep sleep came over him. And the Bible said darkness began to fall over him. A great darkness began to come over Abraham. All right, as it began to come over Abraham, the Bible said God began to speak to him. And here a burning furnace begins to come right in between these two pieces. And he looked, and then that burning lamp began to come in between these two pieces. A great darkness of horror. And the Lord spoke to him and said, Abraham, said, thy know for a surety that thy seed shall sojourney in a land of bondage where they shall be evilly entreated for 400 years. And after this I'll bring them out with a mighty hand. Said, in the fourth generation I'll bring them back here again. He said, for the Amorite, the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Aye, but in the fourth generation I'll bring them back again. Isn't that wonderful? God just knows right to teach us exactly when he's going to bring them back. Now then, he said to him, said, I will, Abraham, overthrow these nations before you. And we brought them out the other night. We named them the Kadmonites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Jebusites and the Girgashites. And then we named the ten the other night that he brought. The Lord brought to Abraham here and said, I'll overthrow these ten nations, I'll overthrow them when the Amorites' iniquity is full in the fourth generation. I'll bring you right back here. All right, now, the Bible said that Abraham offered this offering up to God. Now, remember, there was a burning furnace that came in between here. Now, when Abraham, later you'll see here at Sodom and Gomorrah, when Abraham stood here and saw Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible said he beheld it as a burning furnace. See, the judgment of God passing through those pieces, dividing the goat from the sheep, that great judgment of separation. Now, just a little bit of revelation here. When Abraham saw Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible said it went up like a furnace. When Abraham went up on the mountain of Moriah over here to offer Isaac up for a sacrifice, he had that pillar of fire within his hand, which was a lamp, a torch in that day, which was a lamp that had passed through here, which showed the mercy and grace of God that spared his son. Remember, remember these two things were signified here, that one half would be cut off by a burning furnace, another would be spared by the light that was always to be in the house of David, the grace, the pillar of fire. All right, now the revelation of Jesus Christ of the mind of God. God, the Word, the consuming fire. All right, now notice this. Here at Mamre, a certain thing took place after the sacrifice. They'd been in the land of Canaan now for 10 years, and Sarah, she's discouraged. She's barren, and she can't bear children. So she said, Abraham said, go in unto my handmaid. So Abraham married the handmaid. Now in that day, they had handmaids. They didn't have doctors. They had midwives for delivering children. And every time one left, they always give them a handmaid. The Bible said that in the last days, God would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh and upon His handmaids. There's still people that pray people through at the altar that's called the handmaids of God. And so then the handmaid went along for the child delivery. So that Abraham married the handmaid, she became his wife legally before God, and then a child was born of this wife. All right, now a child was born that was called Ishmael. But when this woman, the Bible said, when she saw that she had conceived, that Sarai was despised in her sight. Her name was still Sarai, and Abram's name was still Abram, not Abraham. And so then, the Bible said that she was despised, her mistress was despised in her sight, and it displeased Sarai. And Sarai said to Abraham, said, I gave my handmaid into your bosom, and now I'm despised, said, my wrong be upon you. Let God judge between me and you. And Abraham said, your handmaid is still within your hands. Do what you will with her. So when she dealt harshly with her, the Bible said she fled to a place over here that was the wilderness here at Shur. And a well back over there was called Beer Lehi-Roi. Here, over here at a well, a place here at Shur. Now, when she got down there to this particular place, the Bible said that God spoke to her and said, Hagar, I said, where are you going? So Hagar told her the trouble, told him the trouble. And the Lord said, you're going to bring forth a son, and said he's going to be a wild man, and every man's hand will be against him, and his hand will be against every man. He'll dwell among his brethren, and said, I'll make of him a great nation. And said, go back to your mistress and submit your hands under your mistress, or yourself under the hands of your mistress. I'd like for you to see this. A lot of people don't believe that rulership's of God. You see how God sends this girl back over there under this power of leadership. God has rulers. God has businessmen. God has leaders. And I know some of them's rotten. I realize that. And you know they're rotten too. But there's some that's godly. There's some that's holding upright that'll give you their shoes off their feet. Now then. And I sound like I'm beside myself. Paul said, I'm beside myself for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has to forgive me. All right, now then, if you'll notice this right now, here she is by this well. She goes back to Sarah. Now there's a son that's born, and Abraham is 86 years old. They've been in the land of Canaan for 10 years, and Abraham is 86 years old, and he gets a son. God gives him Ishmael the son. Now, who is this son? Who is the son Ishmael? These people that are over there now, that's fighting against the Hebrew people, the people that's warring against them right now, this is the seed of Ishmael. What is the battle about? The battle between Ishmael and Isaac, for these people that are over there battling against them right now, say that Abraham is our father and this land over here belongs to us because God gave it to our father. Isaac, which is the Hebrew over there, the Jews, they say it belongs to us. The Arabs said, no, it belongs to us. But the Israelites say it belonged to us because Abraham is our father. Well, he said, who's right? Isaac was, because it was given to the promised son. All right, but now then, God said that he would make a great nation out of Ishmael, and there would be 12 princes that would come up, just like there was 12 leaders that would come up from Jacob, an antitype of it. They would come up, and it'd be a great nation, which he kept his word to Abraham. Said, it's thy seed, Abraham. I want you to notice what happened here now. The Bible said that after this great thing took place and the son was born, God hadn't spoke to Abraham anymore now. Notice this. But then a period of 13 years went by, and then Abraham finds himself 99 years old. And Sarah finds herself over there about 79 years old, or is 10 years younger than Abraham. All right, now then, about this time, God comes along again. And he says, Abraham, I want you to circumcise your son. Here's a man 99 years old. He's circumcised at 99 years old. The son circumcised at 13 years old. All of his house is circumcised here as a covenant. Now, he said, I give you the sign of the seal of circumcision. Why? Because Abraham had believed God. It was counted to him as righteousness. And the circumcision of the foreskin, as the Bible speaks of it, after this thing, that it was the seal of the outer man removed from the inner heart, healed, taken away. And the Bible said, God said, Abraham, if there's anyone among you that's a man child that doesn't have this done, he will be cut off from among his people. And tonight, if there's any person that hasn't killed off the old fleshy man in the act of spiritual circumcision to let the inner man live, then you're cut off from among God's people. Now, circumcision was a sign of the Holy Ghost, the seal of God's righteousness, the Holy Spirit, whereby thou art sealed unto the day of the redemption of the body. So then, it was a seal of Abraham's faith. After you believe, you receive the Holy Ghost. If you don't receive the Holy Ghost, my friend, you are not a true godly believer. Now, you might be believing in your intellectual realm up here, but you can believe a lie and be damned. You believe there's one God. The Bible said you do well. The devil believes that and trembles when he thinks about it. But unless you can believe from the heart, the Bible said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And so then God's Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are a son of God. When you believe from the heart, you're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And now there were the Jews were sealed in their head. They were sealed with the Spirit of truth in their thinking right here. That's what it was, the Spirit of truth. Your seal is the Spirit of truth. All right, now at 99 years old, the Lord speaks to Abraham. And he said, Abraham, I'm going to return at the certain time to Sarah according to the time of life. You'll have a son. I want your name changed from Abram, he said, unto Abraham, and said, for thou shalt be a father of many nations. Alright, then he says change Sarai's name from Sarai to Sarah because she will be a mother of many nations. Alright, now, so it's changed, and Abraham, he just kind of laughs about the thing, you know, said, here I'll be 100 years old and you talk about me having a son. Now, I know Sarah laughs later, but Abraham kind of laughs right now, says, just think, said, I just wished Ishmael could walk up right before you. God said, I'll make a great nation out of Ishmael, but said Abraham, said, I'm going to give you a son of promise. Now then, so we find that here he's still over at Mamre, still right here at Mamre when all this is taking place, right here. He's still at Mamre. Now then, the Bible said, later on past this time where God speaks to Abraham, later on here Abraham is sitting at the tent here when the heat of the day comes, right in the hot part of the day under the oak of Mamre, right here in his tent, and the Bible said he looks up and he sees three men coming. All right, now we don't have much further to go. Just hold on. All right, now, here at the oak of Mamre in the tent, the Bible said that he looks up, and here comes three men toward him. All right, the Bible said Abraham ran out to them. He bowed himself down and asked him to stop by. He said, let thy servant fetch some water for your feet and cover your hearts with a morsel of bread and so forth. And so he compelled these three men, and they stopped at his tent over here. Now, when they stopped at Abraham's tent, he hurried Sarah up to take three measures of meal over there and bake it on the hearth and go out and fetch a calf. Tender young man went and got it and then some butter and some milk and so forth, and he come back and he prepared her a meal. He sat down here, he washed her feet. Now, you know, they had a custom among them where they washed their feet. You come across the desert, your feet was hot and blistering, you know, and it's a type. Now, just dropping a little revelation here. The sole of the foot is a symbol of the soul of your body. That's why when Jesus washed their feet over there, he said, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. For Jesus, being the Word made flesh, it was a symbol of the Word, with the water of the Word, by the washing of the water of the Word, washing the soul to make Peter clean, girding himself about with the Spirit of truth, doing so. All right, now then, it was a custom because it was a type of that which was to come, and coming across this blistering desert, which indicates the torments of Satan, here Abraham gives them some water to cool their soul, the washing of the water of the Word. Now, how many remember when Jesus appeared All of that, he talked to him, and they wanted to stone him, and he said, Abraham saw my day, rejoiced to see it, and was glad. How many remember that? Right here at the tent of Mamre was what Jesus was speaking of. This was the Lord God Almighty that came to Abraham. Already came right here to Abraham. They said, you're not yet 50 years old. And you say, Abraham saw your day. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ, the only God on heaven and earth, appearing right here with two angels coming to talk with Abraham. Now, the Lord is sitting with his back toward the tent. And he said, Abraham, where's Sarah? And he said, she's in the tent. Well, she was standing in the tent door. And the Lord said, Abraham said, according to the time of life, I'll return to Sarah. She'll bear you a son. Sarah laughed. She was past the age of bearing. Abraham was old. And Sarah laughed. And Sarah said, me being old and receiving pleasure and me bearing a child for my Lord and so forth. And the Lord, with his back to her, said, Abraham said, why did Sarah laugh? And Sarah was afraid, and she said, I didn't laugh. He said, nay, but thou didst laugh. And so then he said, it shall come to pass, just like I said, at the time of life. All right, now, the Lord rose up, and the two angels, and turned their face towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible said, when they looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah, the Lord said, shall I hide this thing from Abraham that I'm about to do, seeing that I know that he will command his household after me, and cause his children to walk in my way, that the blessings that I promised may come upon Abraham. So he told Abraham what he was going to do. And Abraham saw him on the way and walked outside the tent there, ways with him down towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And then Abraham and the Lord Jesus stopped to talk. And when they stopped to talk, the two angels went on down to Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible said they reached Sodom and Gomorrah as the evening was coming upon them. Night was falling by the time they got there. But Abraham and the Lord stopped right here. Now, Abraham saw what was fixing to happen, and it scared him because he knew that Lot was down there in Sodom and Gomorrah. He'd done risk his life to save his nephew, and now the Lord was fixing to burn it up. Now, I want to show you the mercy of the Lord right here. You preachers know this anyway, but I want to show you the mercy of the Lord. All right, now, here the Lord stands, and six times Abraham speaks to him right here. And Abraham, being afraid for Lot's sake, he said, Lord, he said, are you going to burn Sodom and Gomorrah? And that's the essence of what he said to him. Now he said, if there be 50 people down there, would you burn that place up down there? And the Lord said, Abraham, for 50 people, I won't do it. Now he said, Lord, he said, it's not like you to destroy the wicked, the righteous with the wicked. He said, that be far from me. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Said, would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? God, that be far from you to do a thing like that. So then, Abraham said, Lord, if there be 50 people down there, the Lord said, I'll spare it for 50. I'll spare it for 50. And then Abraham said, Lord said, if there be 45 people down there. And he said, Abraham, for 45, I'll spare it. Think about that. If I can find 50 people in the city, I won't burn it down. 50 righteous people. All right, then Abraham, he's still worried. He's afraid there ain't that many down there because he done been down there. So he said, Lord, he said, if there's just 40 down there. I said 50 and 45, and he says 40. And the Lord said 40. Abraham, for that many I'll spare. Then he said, Lord, said, I'll take it upon me to speak to you again. Said, if there just be 30 down there. He said, Abraham, I'll spare for 30. Then he said, Lord, said, I'll take it upon myself to ask you one more time here. Said, or ask you again. Said, if there be 20 down there, peradventure there be 20. He said, for Abraham, for 20, I'll spare. And then he said to him again, he said, Lord, said, forgive me. Or that is the essence of it. Said, just, Lord, said, this one time I'll ask you. And he said, what if there's just 10 down there? He said, Abraham, for 10, I'll spare. For 10 righteous people, I won't burn that wicked, sinful city down there. If you can just find 10 people that's right, that ought to make us want to live right, folks. No wonder the Bible said the Christians are the salt of the earth, and when they go out of here, God will burn this place up like he did Sodom and Gomorrah and rain fire and brimstone down on it. Said, Abraham, if I can find 10. But listen, God was so merciful that even though he couldn't find 10, now he said, if I can find 10, I'll spare the city. But he couldn't find enough to spare the city, so instead of destroying the righteous with the wicked, he took what few righteous he was out before he even destroyed the city. So then he went down there. Now, the Bible said he left after Abraham and him communed together. Now then, when these two angels got down to Sodom and Gomorrah, they got down here to this awful place, and the Bible said they got here about night, and Lot was sitting in the gates of the city down there, probably disgusted, and he saw these men. He ran out there and invited them into the house. He said, "My Lord's coming to my house." He went and prepared a feast for them, and just about the time he got everything ready, first of all, they told him he'd abide in the streets that night and wouldn't go in, and finally he persuaded them, and they went in, and the Bible said from every quarter of the city, you're talking about wicked, from every quarter of the city, a lot of people say, "My lands, I wouldn't want to live in a place like that." The Bible said if the things that had been done in Sodom, was done in Sodom, that had been done before the Gentile people, that it would have been spared to today. America is worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I want you to see this, folks. This is how wicked the place was, and you don't know how wicked America is. The Bible said from every quarter of the city, all the people came out, old and young alike, and came to the door of Lot and said, "Bring these men out that we may know them." And Lot brought his two virgin daughters and said, "I got two daughters here that's never known man." Said, "Take them and do what you will with them as it seems good to your sight." But said, "Don't touch these two men." He knew they were angels. He said, "Don't touch these two men." He said, "For they come here to abide into my roof." And they drawed back and they said, "Now this fellow come here to sojourn," and said, "He needs to be a judge." Said, "We'll do worse with you than we would with these two men." And the Bible said that they come and grabbed Lot and was pulling away, and the two angels reached out, took hold of Lot, and pulled him back in, and smote these people with blindness, and they weared themselves to find the door. The angels turned to Lot and said, "Lot, have you any here besides son-in-laws and daughters, or whatever you got?" Said, "Get it out of here." Said, "We're going to burn this place up." Said, "For the cry that is great before God and the wickedness has come up," and said, "We can't do nothing till you get out of here." So then the Bible said he went to his sons-in-law. He gave warning just like the preacher's doing today, but the Bible said he seemed as somebody that mocked. Now then, they had their treasures, they had their wealth, they wouldn't give it up to go with God. Lot, his wife, and his two daughters, the Bible said the angels finally had to lay hands on the arm of Lot, and on his wife, and the two daughters to even get them out of there. And then as they started out of there, the wife looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. Maybe we can bring out a revelation on that later. Then the angel told Lot, said, "Flee to the mountains." Said, "Don't stay in all the plains, but flee to the mountains." Lot said, "Nay, Lord." Said, "If I go there, some wild beast will get me." Said, "I'll be killed." Said, "Here's a little city called Zoar over here." Said, "Let me flee over there to it. God being merciful," said, "I'll spare that city, Lot, gone over there." But Lot got so afraid when the great fire came that he left that city and went up into the mountains like the angel told him to start with. But God spared the city anyway. Now then, when he got up there in this place, the Bible said that these two daughters, and we're not going to bring out the particulars on it, but these two daughters committed harlotry with their own father, the younger and the older, committed harlotry with them, saying that there's no man to come in unto us in all the earth, and we don't have any children. And they thought everybody had been destroyed down there, the whole world they thought had been destroyed. And so then they were found with child of their own father, the Bible said. One of them, the older, was, they named the son Moab, and he became the father of the Moabites. And then one was called Ben-Ammon, which was a younger child. They're the younger daughter, and he was become the father of the Amorites. We brought this out on some tapes here where they settled on the other side of Jordan. Lot's seed. That's why God didn't let them kill them when the Israelites come up over there, because of this. We taught that on tape. We got it somewhere. But there was on the other side of Jordan there. And when the Israelites come up to take Canaan land, they wouldn't let them come against them here. Alright, now, immediately after this, the Bible said that Abraham went over into the land Kadesh and Shur, a place called Gerar, where Abimelech was in Ur, which was the land of the Philistines. And we're going to stop you in just a few minutes now. Alright, when he got over there to this land, Abimelech wanted to take Sarah away from him, and her 100 years old, she was still a beautiful woman. 100 years old, and Abimelech took her and would have married her, And the Bible said he was a good man. He was a fine man. The Lord spoke to him and said, if you touch that woman, said, you're a dead man. Said, because that woman is the wife of a prophet. And said, you better give that woman back to her husband and get him to pray for you. Don't I'll kill the whole everything. I see brother grinning at me. That's right, isn't it? He said, you're as good as a dead man, and said, all the rest of you. He told him he'd kill all of them. And this man got so afraid, he called Abraham. He said, what have you done to bring this great sin upon me? He said, what have I done to cause you to do that? And he said, what did you see that caused you to do this thing? And Abraham said, well, I thought for surety that the fear of God wouldn't be here. And he began to tell him how that he had got Sarah to promise him and said, indeed, she is my sister and so forth. And said, she is the daughter of my father, but not of my mother. And the Bible said, after this, he said, there's the land before you out there. And he gave him men servants and gave him oxen and a women servant and so forth. And said, there's the land. Said, you just go ahead and do what you want to, Abraham. Said, journey here as long as you like. And the Bible said, at 100 years old now, over here, at 100 years old, Sarah conceived and brought forth the son of promise. Finally got over here to it, 490 years after him, Shem and Japheth, 390 years of flood. Here they are over here. And she brings forth a son just exactly like the Lord Jesus said. And then they have a great feast. At 8 days old, the child is circumcised. And the Bible said Ishmael is mocking Isaac. And this is where the bondswoman is driven out. For Sarah got grieved and said, I'm not going to have you mocking my son. And Ishmael's about 14 years old. And said, I'm not going to let him be with my son. Drive him out. Drive him out. And we're going to stop right there. Yeah, because we're going to pick it up another night. But anyway, we've tried to bring out a few things here in the journey of Abraham. I hope that you've got something out of it. We're bringing out the natural side, dropping in just a little revelation as we go along to where we can really get this thing right. Lord, I hope you're getting this pilgrimage right in your mind, and I trust that we didn't hold you too long. I hope that you're enjoying it. If you will, let's everybody stand together now.
Hallelujah.
Are you here lost and undone without the Lord Jesus? Yes, sir, we'd like for you to come. We'd be glad to pray for you. Father, tonight as we pray for Cindy, oh, dear wonderful God of heaven, we pray that you touch her body tonight. Father, strengthen her tonight. Oh, thou art a great and almighty God. We feel the powers of the Holy Ghost tonight, Father. Hallelujah. Lord, you said the anointing would break the yoke. Let faith be lifted up tonight. Oh, God, stir the sinner of faith. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, we ask it. Hallelujah. Father, tonight, we pray for Judy. Lord, touch her little body tonight. God, we come to thee tonight, humbly and sincerely praying in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we pray for this little lady tonight. Oh, dear God, reach out with your healing hand tonight and touch it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, we pray for Sheila tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus. Holy Father, that's looking down from out of heaven tonight. Father, touch this little body in Jesus' name. Father, we ask you to touch Deborah tonight. Father, heal this little body. Oh, God, and bless it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, we pray for this little sister tonight. Father, reach out with your great and mighty hand tonight. Let your spirit come down in a mighty way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, we pray sincerely tonight. God, because thou art God and besides thee, there is no other God, Lord, we know not any. I ask in the name of Jesus tonight, Lord, that you touch this little body in the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise God.